When I speak to our friends, I have notes for this reason. It keeps me on track. I don't wander. Secondly, if I hear something that a speaker says and I'm thinking and meditating on that and I miss part of it, I regret it. So I'm giving you some things on paper this morning that strictly from one of my recent manna gathering times. And while this is being passed out, I'm going to tell you that it came about a week and a half ago when I thought that I was to go to a Wednesday night service and lead in worship, and the Lord changed that and allowed me to go to the closet by myself that night rather than the fourth night of this meeting. And this is where this particular word for us came this morning. A word for me, really, but I'm just allowing you the time with me. You're coming into the closet with me for just a minute. I have a thing about reading ahead, so if you're already on page 2, you have disappointed me greatly. Don't go any further than where we are, or you're going to miss what the Lord wants to say to you because you're thinking of something else. The art of meditation is staying focused. Look at this little book, would you? This is a green book that my wife gave me several months ago because my Bible is inundated with one-liners. Some of these one-liners go back to Joseph Carroll days and incredible things that fed me manna. So Nancy gave me this book, which I even like the front of it. It says, "The best is yet to come." Now, we've all experienced lots of good things in our life, but as the battle rages and the storm increases, I can just look at the front of the book and realize the best is yet to come. And what I started doing was writing down one-liners to help me refresh where God has brought me and where He wants to bring me to, and that fresh manna helps me to enjoy the art of meditation and thinking of what God is, who He is, what He has done. Why do I need to love Him? So what I did to start us this morning in gathering fresh manna was to write down just a few of my favorites. So I'm going to whip through them quickly, but I have an idea that some of these may speak to your heart. William Law said, "I rise early for I have a hardened heart to change." Renewing of our minds, you remember in Romans 12:2. Joseph Carroll, "This changed my life, folks. 30 seconds in confession. What inspiration is there with our heads remaining in the trash can of our sin? How many years have you just confessed and fessed and mourned and groaned and mourned and groaned? That's a good thing, but 30 seconds should be enough," says Joseph Carroll. So I love my 30 seconds. I'm confessing every sin I can think of, yours and mine. I'm trying to get all clean. I'm all over the map confessing. But when 30 seconds is it, that's it. Shut it down. And then let's get to the real focus of why we are in the closet in the first place. We come knowing what we are saved from, thank God, and we have the opportunity to celebrate what we are saved to. Now, here's some forms of manna. The truest expression of trust in God will always be worship. Why do we study? We study in order to praise. Lord, please just take the water of just words and turn them into wine. We must raise our thoughts to holy thoughts as though we were coming to entering into a hospital to be healed. Oh my! I may be a man of valor in some ways, but I'm still a leper. And when I come to the closet, I want to be cleansed. I want to hear. We are not sent into the world to lecture sinners, but to love them. We may open the Word, but God must open the understanding. And one of my favorites that I say almost daily, the reason for theology is doxology. Everything we learn in Scripture is to lead us to the praise and worship. Yes, I want Bible study. I'd like to have a tack of PhDs behind my name. But it's to strictly lead me to see who God is and in turn love and worship Him. Godly means having the power to love. Do I have to remind you of John 3:16? God so loved. Once again, prayer has invaded the realm of the impossible. That was from the story of Nehemiah. You're all Bible scholars in here. We don't have to go through that. The importance of prayer. How often do you need to say, give me summer weather in my heart? This one came from Brother Bob Davis last year. If life had a second edition, how I would correct the proofs. Anyone in ministry, we do not seek a surge of power in ministering the Word of God. We seek His presence. God does not regard the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. Look for ways to cover other people's weakness and mistakes. Love builds a roof for those who have been exposed. My second most favorite one, your thoughts of God are too human. Jesus doesn't come to put us in jail. He comes to rescue us. Tozer, if you'll narrow your interest, God will enlarge your heart. Jonathan Edwards, such influences of the Spirit, I had rather enjoy 1/4 hour than to have prophetic visions and revelations the whole year. Last night, I tried to remind you in a loving sort of way, we don't sing for approval. We sing to bless, to glorify, and to honor. One-liners help me get my heart in position for the delicious manna that's yet to come. Always good news first. I love that. My natural inclination sometimes can be towards depression, sarcasm, criticism. Always in the closet, good news first. As we sit in the closet this morning, Isaiah 61:10 reminds us that we sit here clothed in the garments of salvation. We are covered in robes of righteousness. In the closet, Psalm 139:17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. And to know that Isaiah 61 tells us He binds up the brokenhearted. That's wonderful, but guess what? He not only binds us up, says Luke 4:18, but He heals us. I need healing. I have come to the hospital this morning, God. I've come to my closet to stop the monkeys from jumping from branch to branch this morning. They're all over the mouth in my head. Get the monkeys out of here and allow me to feast on the manna of who you are and what you have done. Isaiah, He is my healer. He has set me free. I'm no longer captive to the prison of myself. I'm no longer bound. The good news comfort me. He gives me beauty for the ash heap that I can find myself in. Joy for mourning and praise for heaviness. God, I come to feast on your manna in the closet. And one of my favorite hymn books is Psalm 103. Did you know that it's been called the Believer's Hymn Book? And if you remember, it starts out with worship and it ends with worship. But after it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, which in your closet and in mine, and in your prayer time and in mine, and our prayer with the Lord," we do start out with worship. "Bless the Lord, O my soul," then all that is in them, he blesses his holy name. Who, and what is the first rattle out of the box in the hymn book? Which is stanza one in Psalm 103. Who does what? Who pardons your iniquities? Thank you, God. In the closet with you, the first thing I'm going to celebrate is that I have been forgiven. Spurgeon said, "He who knows how much he has been forgiven tends to sing the loudest." When we come to pray, how delicious is the manna, fresh every morning, that I have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Who pardons my iniquities. What a reason to be alone in the closet with the Lord. Thank you, God. And secondly, he heals my diseases. He restores, he crowns. If you rehearse Psalm 103 in your mind, you'll not lack anything to say in the closet or to pray back to the Lord. He forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies, executes righteousness. There are new mercies every morning for him who is faithful and true. Stephen Charnock says of Psalm 103:20, "We simply are not enough. David called for all the angels in heaven to join him and bless the Lord." The scripture says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, all you host of his." I'm not enough. I need all the saints that are in heaven, all the saints that are on earth. I need all the angelic host to help me praise him for what he is worthy. In comparison to the whispers of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to the whispers of the enemy in our hearts, where is your balance? I love it when the Holy Spirit whispers to me. I long for the time when the scales are so much greater of the whispers of my Savior's love, to the battleground of the alternative. Have we crossed over, folks, into the beauty of where prayer is not a duty or an obligation, or it was written in a book that that's what a Christian does, over to where the delight is, "Come unto me morning, noon, and night to pray"? It's really sad to me that it took Don 60-some-odd years to get to the point where that is the treasured time of the day. when finally the world stops spinning and I can start clicking off the monkeys. And be quiet in prayer with the Lord. I don't take worship lightly. I love what Mr. Carroll always said. I love what Dan Johnson says. I love what Art Neuenberg says. I love what Jerry White says. I love what Bob Davis can say. But I love what Jesus says more. That's the sweetest manna. Jesus said, "Do not labor for food that perishes, but what endures to everlasting life." Jesus said, "If you want life, Don, seek me." For truly satisfying manna, I must seek Jesus. Well, the next little line is where one monkey took me. And it says, "I like certain foods." And I do. I return to certain foods because I find enjoyment in them. Most of you know that I have a chef background for one of the hats, one of the roads I have traveled. So I do like food. I like to cook. And right after this, I wrote in my quiet time, "Selah." Well, as you know in Scripture, Selah at the end of many of the Psalms means take a break, regroup. My favorite definition of Selah is retune your harp. Well, we've talked about lots of manna, but really the important manna, retune our harps. In the closet with me this morning, retune the harp. The really important manna is feasting on the Word of God and what's found there, like in 1 Corinthians 1:30. I am dumb as a stump, folks, in so many ways. But Jesus is wisdom for me. Jesus is righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In prayer, I come to feast on the fact that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. If I seek Jesus, I see power of God. I see wisdom of God. I need Jesus. I need fresh manna. God is not mad at me this morning. Nor has He come to put me in prison. I need not feel guilty. I need not feel condemnation. I am becoming a new creature. And in prayer, in worship, in fellowship is where I meet the one that I am being transformed into. You want to know what you're going to look like for eternity? Come face to face with that now. The good news is the King of the universe has come to be my Savior. the war is over. We have peace. One of the sweetest things for me when God whispers is there's an amazing stillness, an incredible quietness. How often is it that you're praying, even in groups, and there's that wait? Nobody say another word. Don't move. The Spirit of God is working. It's not war. Just one issue I have with much of the music that's being written today. And we don't want to let a monkey carry us down that road too far. But nothing is restful. Nothing is, it's all discordant, jerky, too repetitive. It ends on a chord that it leaves you hanging. That's not the way the Spirit of God works. It's peace and rest and gentleness, sweetness. In the quiet moments with the Lord, like a river glorious, is God's perfect peace. Every obstacle in God, which is God's wrath, and every obstacle in me, which is my rebellion, has been removed. What's the result of prayer and worship and manna gathering? Revelation 22:6, seeing firsthand that God is faithful and true. Revelation 22:9, it brings me to worship. Revelation 7:9-10, I can sing with the white-robed armies. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to my God forever and ever. Why do I pray? Why do I want to be in the closet? Why do I want fresh manna? Why do I want to come to Jesus morning, noon, and night? That I may learn of Him and glorify Him. I'm going to return to the piano so we can sing three songs. The first one you obviously have learned. The second one is verse 2 of the gospel hymn, He Touched Me. You may not recognize it by just starting out with verse 2, but verse 2 is what speaks to my heart. It's like the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Verse 2 is my favorite verse. My sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought, not my sin, not the thought of my sin's not blissful, but the glorious thought that my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross and I bear it. No, that's why I can sing it as well with my soul. Since we met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made us whole, we will never cease to praise Him and shout it while eternity rolls. And then the real focus of what worship is all about. It's not so much what as it is who. the difference in objective and subjective worship. We always want to get to the good news of subjective worship. It's okay for us to love being in the objective, the subjective, which is about what God's done to us, through us, in us, about us, all about us. Oh, praise God. That's why we have testimony meetings. But we want to get to the objective worship, which is outside of ourselves, an object somewhere else. That's what worship is all about. And the third song, you see, immediately takes you to objective worship, not subjective worship. Worthy is the Lamb, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on the throne, who was and is to come. All creation sings the praise. You are my everything and I will adore you. That is worship. We have a rich privilege these hours, last night and through tomorrow, of coming just a bit closer into the Holy of Holies, coming from outside the camp and being washed, being refreshed. We will need fresh manna every day, the rest of our lives.